Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some scholars want to strip Jesus of anything supernatural. They approach the Bible as its judges, little realizing that the book they scorn will one day judge them. Today, lessons to take home from our look at one of the lies being told about Jesus. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series on slandering Jesus, lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. In our look at lie number 3, Jesus became the Christ, we've seen first that in the Scriptures, Jesus is not on trial. We are.
So you have people coming to the Bible, and they're going to decide what parts they want to accept and what parts they can't accept. Well, that's interesting. Tells us a lot about you, tells us nothing about Jesus, tells us nothing about the New Testament. When you read the Bible, Jesus is not on trial. You and I are the ones who are on trial. Second, spiritual sight is more important than physical sight. Spiritual sight is more important than physical sight. Now, let's look at this 9th chapter, and we think of the miracle that Jesus did. He does the physical miracle, and the man born blind can see. And then he does another miracle. The man born blind comes and asks, "Who are you?" And he discovers that Jesus is the one who healed him, who is the Son of Man, which is a phrase of the Old Testament that refers to deity in the book of Daniel. And he ends up worshiping Jesus, and he becomes a believer. Let me ask you this question. What miracle was the greatest miracle of the two? You say, well, you know, healing the blind man so that he could see physically. I don't think so. Did you know that the same creative power that Jesus used to enable this man to see physically is the very same power that Jesus uses to birth within us the light that we need to understand that he is the Son of God? And the second miracle is much more important than the first, because if you're physically blind, you will only be blind temporarily. Eternal blindness is forever. But it's so much more important to be healed spiritually than physically. When I was in the church in Canada where I grew up, there was a man who was blind. As far as I know, he was born blind. He used to always stand up during testimony meetings and say, "I'm so glad that the first person I'm going to ever see in this world is Jesus," he said. Isn't that wonderful? Many of you are acquainted with Fanny Crosby. She lived in the 1800s in New York. You all know Johann Strauss of Vienna, the waltz king. Well, Fanny Crosby was the queen, we could say the hymn queen in New York. She wrote 8,000 songs. We still sing many of them, like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Now, she was not born blind, but at the age of 6 weeks, something happened because of a disease, and there seems to be a difference of opinion as to how it happened, but she became blind and was blind all of her life. Never complained, but used her awesome talent to write hymns and poetry. At the age of 9, she wrote these words, "Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Fanny Crosby, the age of 9. There is something that is worse than physical blindness, and that's to hear the gospel and to read the New Testament and not believe in Jesus because of spiritual blindness. There's a third lesson, and that is that there has to be an acknowledgement of spiritual blindness. There has to be an acknowledgement, an honest acknowledgement of spiritual blindness, in order for God to change our hearts so that we can begin to see and change our loves. But why is it that people are unchanged? There was a man who did not like going to the symphony orchestra, but his wife persuaded him to because she loved the music. And one time, as she was looking at him during the concert, he really seemed to be enjoying it. And she thought, you know, at last my husband's getting into it. Well, turns out that wasn't exactly right. Later on, he confessed that he had a transistor radio in his pocket and a little earpiece and was listening to a Cub game. You know, there are people who come to listen to a sermon and they tune out. If you don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, it'll be irrelevant. It will not be life-changing. As a boy, when I would read the New Testament, I'd come across the phrase that Jesus used so often, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And I thought, well, you know, of course, if somebody even heard that, they'd have to have ears. You know, you try to figure this out. Am I going too fast for you? Then I began to understand that Jesus is saying, yeah, you can hear the words, but it may not affect you because you're not hearing spiritually. You're not open to it. In fact, let me tell you that our dilemma of being spiritually deaf and spiritually blind is so pernicious. It is such a barrier that unless God comes and gives us light and does a work in our ears, we'll never hear and we'll never see. That's how serious it is. That's why Jesus says, No man can come to me, except the Father drag him. That's what the Greek word says. Because we're not given to want to hear. We're given to be committed to the idea that we can see, thank you very much. Like a man on a plane to whom I was witnessing some time ago who says, I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay, you're okay. God says, I'm okay, you're not okay, sorry. Now, what should you do if you have been listening to this? If you have ears to hear, and maybe you've not come to saving faith in Christ yet, what should you do? Well, the answer is this. Throw yourself at God's mercy with an attitude of openness and honesty. And say, I'm going to rethink this business of Jesus Christ and Christianity again. I'm going to read now with a willingness and an openness, and God may indeed grant me light and grant me the ability to hear. Because without it, the Bible itself will not do you any good. Just look at the Jesus seminar. Think of Rudolf Bultmann and think of yourself. I think one of the best illustrations of what it means to come to the light is Nicodemus there in the third chapter of John. He comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid. He's a Pharisee. He's a teacher of the Jews. And he comes at night because there are some things about Jesus that he has seen that are so wonderful and so beautiful and so compelling. And he's still not convinced. So he says, Rabbi, you are a teacher come from God, because nobody can do what you're doing except God is with him. And then Jesus begins to explain. Nicodemus couldn't understand the new birth, and Jesus explained that. He couldn't understand salvation. Jesus explained that. The context in which Jesus gave the famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's right there in the middle of this dialogue with Nicodemus. And in the end, Nicodemus becomes a believer undoubtedly because he comes into the light and publicly affirms his faith in Jesus and actually helps with the body of Jesus, as you well know. So Nicodemus came from the midnight of confusion into the sunlight of confession. And maybe there's someone here who is listening, maybe many people, the internet, radio, this sanctuary. You are right now in the midnight of confusion. You don't know whether you belong to Jesus or whether you don't, but there's something within you that tells you had better. Could I ask you to open your life to Jesus, to believe on him, to know that you too can be saved as the Holy Spirit of God works in your heart and grants you light and hearing so that you are changed by God's holy word. In fact, that can happen even right now. The Bible says that when Jesus was preaching, many believed on him. You can believe in the balcony. You can believe down here. You can believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we do want to thank you for this marvelous story of a man who was healed physically and spiritually. And we think of all those around him who missed the clues. And we think of those who may have been listening to this message and they too have missed the clues. And maybe they've heard the gospel many times, but they've never opened their life to Christ, content with who they are. Lord, the miracle has to be yours. I've said what I've said, but my words cannot do it. Your word can. Help all of us, Lord Jesus, in openness and honesty to open our lives to you. Before I close this, can we just have a moment of prayer? If God's talked to you, especially those of you who've never believed in Jesus, those of you who've come with doubts and questions, that's fine. But those of you who are ready to say, Jesus, I do believe in you. Would you tell him that? Hear us in our need, we pray, O Lord. Amen. Amen. My friend, do you remember when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" How you answer that question will determine your eternal destiny. That's why I've written a book that exposes many of the errors that are taught about Jesus. The title of the book is Slandering Jesus, Six Lies People Tell About the Man Who Said He Was God. For example, the lie that he was a mere man, or the lie that he has a dark secret, and so forth. Ask for the book Slandering Jesus, Six Lies About the Man Who Said He Was God.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding, Jesus became the Christ. The third lie in a new series on Slandering Jesus. Lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. Next time, join us for lie number four. Jesus has a dark secret. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Slandering Jesus. A copy is yours as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about Slandering Jesus. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.